Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, I'm Alan Cumming, and welcome to My Shelves. My shelves are sort of a museum of my life. I like to keep things from my travels that are, to me anyway, the very essence of the experiences I've had. Sort of portals, if you will, to a specific time and place. And the inspiration for stories and memories and musings. Here's my game of Kerplunk. For those of you who don't know what Kerplunk is, it involves a plastic sort of tube, lots of kind of little different coloured plastic cocktail sticks and a lot of marbles, and it's just the best game ever. Here's two place cards from a dinner I went to. One of them says Alan, because it was mine, and the next one is the person who's sitting next to me. It says Oprah. Here's my Remains of the Day lunchbox. For those of you who don't know the film Waiting for Guffman, I exhort you to go and watch it immediately, but you'll also, once you've watched it, realise how funny it is that one of my friends made me a Remains of the Day lunchbox. And today, my guest is my dear old friend, Eddie Roche.
I'll do my impression of you doing me.
Okay, yes. Okay, I want to hear that.
Oprah, may I have a picture with you? It would be my dream.
Welcome, bienvenue, welcome.
The item I'm talking about on my shelves today is actually a book. It's a book that I wrote. It's called You Gotta Get Bigger Dreams. And it was published in 2016. It's actually a book of stories and photographs that I took. And Eddie features very heavily in this book. In fact, the title story, You Gotta Get Bigger Dreams, is all about him and Oprah Winfrey. You see, what happened was, in 2007, I was invited to this swanky big awards dinner at which Oprah was receiving the highest honour. Now, Eddie was obsessed with Oprah, and I just knew that I had to have him as my date for that night. I told my husband, Grant, he couldn't come, that Eddie was going to be my plus one for the evening. What happened that night is the stuff of legend. Eddie was desperate for a photo with Oprah. I told him that maybe that wouldn't happen. And let's just see how things turned out. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, mister. How are you?
Good, good. Let's just go back into the genesis of this whole story because okay. I feel, you know, I've written about it, I've talked about it endlessly, but we haven't talked about it actually, what it feels like. And also what it's like looking back on some of that. So first of all, where this all should begin is, when did your worship of Oprah begin, Eddie?
Well, I obviously grew up with her.
It's like you went to school with Oprah.
She was on
she in New Jersey.
She was on every day on ABC after General Hospital against Phil Donahue. Then Oprah had a moment in the late 90s where she got really, really sort of spiritual. And I, at the time, wasn't really working and didn't have that much to do. So
you're just perfect fodder.
So every day at 4 p.m., I was awake. I was always awake by then. And you know, and we were, Oprah did this thing where she would, like, at the end, it was Remember Your Spirit, I think it was called. And it was sort of, it was very, very spiritual. And she would talk about meditation and all these things. And I really, really got into the cult. And then it just, you know, as the show evolved, she really became bigger than I ever, than anybody could have imagined. She became Oprah. It was just a religious thing in my life that every day after work, I would come home without fail and watch Oprah's show. It was just sort of the one thing that I needed to do every day. Now that's been replaced by The View. Sorry, Oprah.
Oh my God. Well, I suppose, was that until Oprah was off air?
Exactly, yeah.
But like, so when you worked for me, you would like go home and put Oprah on every single night?
Yes.
I love that response. But you talk about it in a religious way. And I mean, I know that I used to rib you about it all the time.
Yes.
In that I sort of said, you're in a cult, Ed. You're in a cult of Oprah. It sounds like it is, or it was for you.
Definitely. I think it was sort of, I think that she talked about things like God in a way that I had never really thought about before. And it wasn't in a Jesus-y way. It was sort of more as God as love. And I really thought that was kind of a nice way to look at God.
Yeah.
Not in kind of the way that I grew up Catholic, and the God in that religion just wasn't a God that that spoke to me. Where Oprah's right. God spoke to me.
So do you mean it's more like, instead of being a man with a big beard, being kind of, you know, slightly scary, it's more sort of a concept of kindness and love and looking after people.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's one of the things that show did so well was they really encouraged people to be kind and to do things, to donate not only like their money, but their time. And she just had really, really interesting guests who sort of awakened that audience. I think that's why she is so missed and still so loved, because she really changed so many lives.
So this is late 90s. You're kind of just starting out in your life and your career, and you're unemployed and just kind of hanging around a bit. And Oprah really filled a big spiritual hole for you then.
Yeah, I'd say that.
And you still are a great fan of Oprah. But when did she stop filling such a spiritual hole for you? A question I never thought I'd hear come out of my mouth. I just would like to point out, but please try and answer it.
I think maybe I got a job. No. I don't know. I think she got a little less off the Marianne Williamson track on the show as well. She did a lot of sort of celebrity interviews for a couple of seasons. The sort of the tone of the show shifted, but I still enjoyed it every day. It was, you know, it was a nice pleasure. Although I think I actually got kind of sick of all of the celebrity interviews.
Remember we had the row about when she said, I've got something very special coming up. The very special announcement from Oprah will be coming up on Monday. A big thing's going to happen. And it was at the time of the election when John Kerry was running for the Democrats as president and Bush was rerunning. And everyone thought, and they sort of played it up, that it was going to be Oprah, making an official support of John Kerry and kind of giving him her support, which would undoubtedly have boosted his credibility and popularity enormously. And it wasn't that at all. What it was Oprah giving a car away to everyone. Now that was what are your feelings on that, Eddie, the car giving away thing? Because there was all sorts of, it was a mess, was it not?
I don't think it was that big of a mess. I think it was kind of an iconic pop culture moment now. People still use that phrase of you get a blah blah, you get a blah, car blah.
You get a podcast, I mean, and you get a podcast.
It was such good TV. It really, really was. I don't think that the time Oprah at the time really never really got into politics. That just wasn't her thing.
I find annoying and offensive. I think anyone who speaks so publicly about so many social issues, that even talks about spirituality in that way and kindness and what you can do to help, the fact that you say you're not political, I think that annoys me, because if every time we go into a shop and buy something, that's a political act. Every time, you know, the denial of politics or being political is to me is sort of saying you're a coward. You don't want to say you exist in the world.
She changed her tune though. She definitely changed her tune. And I think Obama has, to this day, he has a lot to be thankful for Oprah, because her not only endorsement of him, but you know, his appearances on her show were introducing him to middle America, basically. You know, that was a super, super powerful, maybe the best endorsement he could have gotten.
Oh, I think so. Opinion. Yeah.
She doesn't like Trump. And recently she had Breonna Taylor on the cover of O Magazine this summer.
That was great.
Which I think is a political.
Oh, I totally do. I think she completely changed her since Obama, since coming out for Obama, you know, and she came out for Hillary and all the, I mean, and of course the Breonna Taylor thing, when those billboards, I think she's amazing. I love Oprah. Yeah. I think perhaps I like Oprah, I'm more fervent about Oprah now than you, Eddie. And I think we've almost like, we've sort of intersected in our Oprah-ness.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think it is.
How dare you? I think that, you know, I think as a human being, maybe I've just sort of calmed down from fandom in general, though. Like, right. I would think when I first met you, I was much more obsessed with Barbara Streisand than I am now.
Right, I'll see.
I still love Babs. She has a special place in my heart, but I'm not going to Madison Square Garden the day before I see the concert to get merchandise like I did many, many years
just
ago.
Just in case they sold out on the night that you actually went. You went the night before and bought it.
Exactly.
Then, of course, I've never seen anyone quite so slighted as you when Barbara Streisand did the tour after her farewell tour.
No, that really pissed me off.
I know.
Because I had framed the ticket that said the final performance. And then, so now that I still have that frame, but it's in my closet. It's not on any wall.
So. How ironic. You put it back in the closet. But what is probably pride of place still on your wall in your apartment in New York City is the oil painting of the photograph of you and Oprah that I took, which is kind of what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
So what happened was there was an awards ceremony. The Eli Wiesel Federation, or whatever you call it, association, you know, was having these awards and they were giving one to Oprah. Now, I got invited. And you had said to me that you wanted to get a photo with Oprah that night. And I said, Eddie, I don't think I can guarantee that that is going to happen. And I also would like to point out to you that often when you are out with me in public and people come and ask for my photo and interrupt us, it really pisses you off. Do you remember that?
But I'd still like a photo with Oprah. Doing the work for you.
Thank you. Giving me my lines. So, yeah. So we get to the event way early. Now, I don't think either of us have ever been early to a cocktail party ever. Remember we went to that little Irish bar along the road and had martinis?
Yes, but I don't drink martinis.
Oh, maybe you didn't have a martini then. What did you have?
I had a red wine, I'm sure.
Oh. So we went to the bar and then... So then we get to the first part of the evening, which is the cocktail party. Now, it is full of people. Now, Eli Wiesel, we should say, died recently, was a survivor of the Holocaust and a great philosopher and writer and everything, and a great, great man. And this was his foundation. So the cocktail party was kind of full of people of his peers, who are obviously, therefore, very, very old. How were you feeling at that point?
I was feeling excited and nervous, and I thought that that was going to be my best opportunity to get the shot with Oprah. If there ever was going to be an Oprah shot, that was going to be the time to do it because it was intimate. And I think Gail was there too.
Yes.
I remember. So I thought wherever Gail is, Oprah's not far behind.
And you just thought there's more. It's not in the big huge awards ceremony. We've got more of a. Oh, excuse me, bumped into you. Do you mind if we have a picture kind of thing?
Exactly, yeah.
Right. Were you really gutted when we didn't get the picture there? Do you think it was over?
No, I don't think I was gutted. I think I was really grateful for the whole night and the experience and the fact that you, you know, brought me to this and that you came in especially for this event. It was so sweet. So I was okay.
I mean, were you kind of like... It would be great if I got a picture of Oprah, but I will not be that disappointed if I don't. Or were you? How are you on that scale?
This was like 20 years ago. I'm like,
But it was the best night of your life, Eddie.
I will say I was, I don't know. I don't remember that I was going to burst into tears. I don't remember that in any way. I thought, let's see how the rest of the night plays out.
Right.
I don't give up easily.
No, we go downstairs and initially we're both a little disappointed with our table, aren't we?
Yes, the table was probably one of the worst tables I've ever been to in terms of where we were.
The positioning,
at these kind of events. Yeah, it was really...
Because there's a sort of an etiquette of the table. The further away you are from the center of the room and also the nearer you are to like the kitchens.
The kitchen,
We were basically, there was basically like chicken legs in our face. Yeah, as they came out with the things. I remember having to kind of G up your spirits at that point when we found out where our table was.
Yeah, But we had a fabulous table.
Then it turned around, didn't it? Who was at our table?
Edie Falco, who I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
Who was lovely, lovely, lovely. And Elizabeth Berkley, who was also super sweet.
Famous from Showgirls, Elizabeth Berkley.
And Saved by the Bell for
Saved by the Bell.
Of us. And her husband, who I believe is Greg Lauren. And he was really cute and sexy and nice as well.
Ralph Lauren.
Uh-huh. Yeah, oh. I think that's his nephew. He's a fashion designer.
They were lovely. They were absolutely charming. And she had like a website for girls about sort of things about young girls. And I really admired her. So the evening began and it's pretty, you know, exciting. And there was like Ishtak Perlman played the violin and Jesse Norman sang. It was pretty classy like that.
And also Barbara Walters, which
Barbara Walters was hosting. Yeah.
I was at very peak love of Barbara Walters at that point. So that was very, very exciting for me as well.
I remember, I always think the first time I was on The View, it was when I was doing the anniversary party and Barbara Walters came into my dressing room to tell me she was going to ask me some tough questions about the drug use in the film. And I was like, all right. And then I remember she was wearing a peach suit, like a peach skirt and jacket. And I remember it was like effervescent. She was sort of twinkling. Her entire aura was sort of this fuzzy peach.
Yeah. I was there in your dressing room that day.
Oh,
I actually remember she said to you directly, she went, I need to talk to you about the drugs. And I think you were like, what are you talking about? That's what she said.
I forgot you were there. Yeah. I was terrified.
Yeah.
Barbara at the Oprah Eli Wiesel thing said this immortal line. She went, we're going to have a short break. And when we come back, Oprah. And it was just, I could feel the tension just taking a huge spike, the excitement, the tension. And everyone was like, ooh, it's going to be Oprah, it's going to be Oprah, it's going to be Oprah. And we had like our eyes on Oprah. And remember, Gail came over to say hello. Lovely Gail, Oprah's best friend.
Yep.
And had you met Gail before?
No.
So she's a sweetheart. I was actually thinking after she'd spoken to us and been very nice, I thought if Eddie doesn't get to meet Oprah, at least he's met Gail.
Exactly.
Hello. Hello there. What voice do you want me to do? We will do a little bit. I'll just do my voice.
Do your voice.
Yeah, thanks. Hello, I'm Joe Marler. People think I hate people, but I don't. I actually love interaction with people. I love finding out what jobs they do and whether I could do what they do. The Joe Marler Show.
Joe Marler Show.
With new episodes every Wednesday.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And you remember you took a photo. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it's of you and Gail's bum.
Yes. So
Gail turned away after saying hi to us. And she was still standing like next to Eddie, but she was now turning to talk to someone else. And Eddie looked at me and went, take a photo. So I take this picture of Eddie and Gail's bum because our bum was right by his head. And so that it was at that moment after Gail moved away, because there was a sort of a central table with all the sort of like, it was like a wedding, actually, like with a big sort of long table with Oprah and Steven Spielberg and Jesus and all these people were. All the old gags are the best. And then, you know, we were these other tables all around about. And when Gail moved out of the way, we could see that Oprah was standing up and the whole table stood up, and Oprah was going to be moving away from the table, and she started to come. And you said to me, take a photo, like zoom in on Oprah, and I'll be, you know, and I was trying to fiddle the focus to sort of try and get you both in focus, even though you're quite far away and everything like that. I was sort of looking through the lens, and you're smiling away with Oprah in the background coming towards. And then I realized, this is the moment of the night for me, was when I realized, because of our terrible table next to the kitchens and indeed the toilets, that Oprah was going to have to come past us, because she was coming obviously for a pee, and she was going to come right past our table and right past Eddie. I remember realizing, I was like, oh my God, she's coming closer. Oh my God, Eddie, she's going to go right past this table. And then that's when I frantically thought, I've got to get my shit together, because it's really going to happen now and I cannot let Eddie down. And then I sort of doing all that, and I see Oprah coming. And of course, you know, like any huge, huge star like Oprah, there's this kind of like whirlwind around her wherever she goes. And then I remember looking up and I realized that the whirlwind had stopped and we were inside the whirlwind. And I heard Eddie say, can you remember what you said?
Do I have to do it?
Yes, please. Yes, it's the podcast all about it. You've got to do it.
I'll do my impression of you doing me.
Okay, yes. Yeah, okay. I want to hear that.
Oprah, may I have a picture with you? It would be my dream. That is you doing my voice. That's not how I talk.
Well, it is obviously not how you talk, but that night your voice did go up quite several tones, and with this sort of panic and emotion. I said when I wrote about it, I said it was like a little choir boy. So you said, can I have my picture with you? It would be my dream. And Oprah said the immortal words.
You got to get bigger dreams.
You got to get bigger dreams. So I snapped the picture. Oprah moved on.
Mission accomplished.
Did you say thank you to Oprah?
Oh, I hope I did. I'm sure I did. Yeah, sure her did. Security maybe whisked her away at that point. I didn't have a chance. Yeah, I'm pretty sure she had bodyguards with her. She couldn't.
I think she did. Yeah, yeah.
Without bodyguard.
No, she did. Okay. Even though everyone was like 95 in the room apart from her. And I remember saying, because she just said, you got to get bigger dreams like that. And I said, did Oprah just diss you? And you said, oh, who cares? Show me the picture. Now, this is the best part of the whole story. So the photo, we looked at it. It's half of Oprah's face, absolutely in focus, looking beatific. She's smiling, showing kind of a little teeth, not like a whole tooth, just sort of. But she looks beautiful. She looks like she's in like, repose.
Get this picture, you know, done.
Yeah, get it over. Got nice earrings. And then next to her is out of focus and smiling like hugely is Eddie. And I just think totally perfect that she wouldn't be able to be that present. And you in that moment were completely a flurry. So it's actually, I really, really like the picture now, even though at the time I was like, oh my God, I didn't even get all of Oprah's face in. Poor Eddie. But, you know, you made some lemonade.
Yeah, baby. So then I did blast it out. I wish I still had that email.
What was people's reaction?
Oh, well, everybody was thrilled. It was, you know, I had met my Jesus. Yeah, it was you know, it was hilarious. I guess the weirdest thing, which I didn't really expect, was maybe it was about a week later. My doorman called me and said, there's something down here for you. Come and get it. And I got a painting by my friend Scott, who's an artist,
yes,
of me and Oprah that is literally the size of a house. It's this gigantic, gigantic painting, which it's always funny to me when I have people come in my house. Some people notice it and some people don't. And I just always wonder, the people that don't comment on it, just think, what are they thinking this is? Because it sort of looks like Oprah, but it could be any beautiful black woman. And maybe people don't even know it's me because it was so long ago.
It's a little blurry.
Yeah. So, I mean, I never asked for it, but it was a very nice gift. Sometimes I think I'm ready to take it down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just to have something new on my walls. Right. I'm actually thinking about bringing it to your house upstate.
Oh my God, I was just going to say, if you're throwing that out, I want
it. No, I'm never throwing it out.
No, you could lend it, how you lend famous paintings to different museums and galleries. Just lend it to
me. Maybe I will. We'll do that, yeah. So who knows what's in your future, Alan?
Oh, that's exciting. That's something to live for.
Then you wrote the book.
Then I wrote a book and used the I wrote a story about that whole evening. And I called, the actual book is called You Gotta Get Bigger Dreams, which is what Oprah said to you when you asked her for a picture. And I guess that's why I talked about it so much, is because it was the title of the book and everyone was fascinated. But I did tell that story. I told that story like hundreds and hundreds of times around the world when I was promoting that book, and ever since, actually, like that.
Yeah, even I'm sick of hearing about it.
Yeah. The next, and you, Eddie became this, you know, this sort of mythical person that's talked about all over the world.
Yeah, I've gotten messages from people being like, are you Eddie? You know? I'm like, yes, I am.
Then what happened?
One day I got a text message.
So a few years go by, just through a bizarre series of circumstances, I am sitting at a dinner in the West Coast of America. And I am I look at the table. My little name card says Alan. I look to the right. You know, the way you always look who you're next to. It just said Oprah. Of course, I stole both of those name cards. I was sitting next to Oprah at a table of six people at this amazing, there's lots of tables, of course, but I was next to Oprah. It was such fun. We had such a laugh. She was so charming, told hilarious stories, important stories. I mean, I just thought she was a darling. And we got on to Eddie, the book, and You Got to Get Bigger Dreams and blah, blah. And she knew about it. And we talked, and I said the thing that I said how when she first said You Got to Get Bigger Dreams, I thought, did she just diss Eddie? But then I said, when I thought about it afterwards, there's that you're absolutely right. That even in that moment of, like, you know, what must happen to her, it happens to me a lot when I'm out in things. I can't imagine what it must be like for Oprah, like getting kind of bugged by crazy people who are obviously in a state of great anxiety and panic, and their voice is going to weigh up octaves like yours did. She must get that so much. But even in that moment, she was actually able to say something wise and beautiful and important for you. That the idea is that you should get bigger dreams. You should have bigger dreams than just wanting to get a photo with me, with Oprah. It almost in a way releases you from that, and you can now seek other dreams, more sort of fruitful and important dreams.
Yeah.
So we had a really nice chat about it. I said about, you know, that's what I'd thought. And then I said about how, you know, I actually thought it was a really beautiful moment. And even in that stressful situation, she was able to be wise and give you this great advice. And she started talking about it. And she said, well, what I meant was, I meant, Eddie, to lean in, because that phrase that Oprah always used, I love it. I'm leaning into something. Lean into his dreams. I went, oh God, Eddie would love to hear this. She goes, well, let's make a video for him. And I was like, what? And so I get my camera out and I'm just thinking, this will make Eddie's life. This will make Eddie will, I'm actually worried. I was actually sort of worried you might have a heart attack or something when you got it. So I make a little video and I go, it's me, first of all, going, hey Eddie, how are you? I just wanted to tell you I'm at dinner and with a friend, they want to talk to you. And I pan over and Oprah talks directly down the lens to Eddie. And what does she say to you, Eddie?
She said, Eddie, I wasn't dissing you. I need to lean into my bigger dream. That was her quote. And then she said, the only thing that would be better right now, Eddie, is if you were here with us. And I was like, oh my God!
I went to the loo, and it was at an event where you really were not supposed to take pictures and everything like this. Oh, I need to go to the loo. And I texted this to Eddie. And then where were you when you got it?
I was at the table I'm sitting at right now with five friends, and it came in, and it was so fun to actually have other people to be with, because we were just sitting around, and then it became kind of this Oprah party. It was it was so funny. So we watched it 55,000 times, and it was just the sweetest thing of her and you to have done that. It really made my day. Aww. More than my day, it made my life. Now
how often do you look at it?
Not that often, actually. I sometimes have trouble finding it.
Oh my God.
So last night I finally found a version of it last night that I think I will be able to keep forever. So yeah, I don't watch it that much, but maybe I'm not as obsessed as I was. Maybe you're right.
Well, in a way, Oprah has released you from the bondage of Oprah.
I think that day maybe was when she gave me to the world. I now work in fashion for a magazine for the past 11 years. And in December, I was pitched Gayle King to interview.
Yes.
for Saks Fifth Avenue where she was doing the Christmas lights. My first reaction was like, I went through security? I was like, that's good. and we had this great chat. I didn't mention anything to her. I don't know whether she was aware, but I doubt it. But she is a love.
Darling.
A great interview and just an amazing, amazing woman. Who one thing, my takeaway from Gail was that she talks about Oprah a lot, which I think is really interesting. I was thinking about today, and that a lot of times when you have a celebrity friend, you don't talk about them because people sometimes think you're bragging or whatever.
Right.
It's weird, and I kind of love that Gail owns that friendship and doesn't care, like, if anybody thinks she's Oprah name-dropping. So that was kind of, I guess I was thinking of you, in all honesty, about how sometimes, like, I won't necessarily say Alan, I'll say my friend.
Right.
Because I don't want people to think, like, I'm, like, I don't know, exploiting our friendship. Or maybe I don't want to share things about you to people that
are protecting me.
Private to you.
Yeah. We've never really talked about this. I'm curious about how your life changed after you became the subject of a top international, not very well-selling book.
Well, it was a lot of fun. It was a story that lasted a lot longer than I ever, ever, ever would have imagined.
And we love stretching out a story, don't we?
You do. You know, I was thinking this morning that night where we met Oprah was the season finale of the series finale of The Sopranos. Because remember, Edie Falco was at that table.
Oh, my God.
A long time ago. That means she did Nurse Jackie, which is an entire different TV show since then.
So, and this story's lasted throughout that entire time.
The never
ending talking about it.
Story, yes. So, yeah, I mean, I think when you did the press for it, this was kind of your go-to talk show story.
Yes.
So that was very, very fun. To see all the different appearances. And, you know, you went on Graham Norton's show and Nicole Kidman and Keith Urban were on the show that day and they enjoyed the story. And you were on James Corden's show and Nick Jonas was the guest that night and he enjoyed the story. But my favorite moment of it all was when you were on Kelly Ripa's show. Mm. I think she was in between hosts that year. And the next day, she had Busy Phillips as her co-host. And I was the answer to the trivia question, which was so hilarious.
Alan Cumming appeared on Friday's show. Who did Alan say inadvertently came up with the name of his new book?
Oh. Was it his friend Eddie?
Oh, but you were so close.
No.
It was Oprah.
His dream to meet Oprah, and she, you got to get bigger dreams.
She was so close.
Oh my God.
You mean you're getting some gratuitous pleasure about the fact that all these celebrities that were sitting next to me on sofas?
Well, that was fun. I mean, it was just fun also to just have friends come over. We would DVR it and we would watch it, you know, on the weekends to just show my friends my fabulous life as a talk show topic.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your Oprah journey with me.
Yeah, this was
and
super fun.
I've loved leaning in to your Oprah journey, Eddie. And it's been my dream to have you on my podcast. And I now can have bigger dreams.
Oh, me too. Thank you, Alan. Love you.
All right. I love you. Thanks for coming on.
Welcome. Bienvenue. Welcome. Fremda. Étranger. Stranger.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.